The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Excellent. Well, good morning, everyone. Who remembers this ad campaign from, it's a while ago, 1990, I found out. See if you remember this phrase. I don't know if I got the accent right. That's not how you make porridge. Is anyone, hands up if you remember that. Okay, a few. I couldn't believe how long ago it was. And 1990, no way. If you remember the Uncle Toby's ad campaign, they're trying to sell a product, a new way of making porridge, oats, and it doesn't require sitting in a saucepan for half an hour or so. You just pour the hot water on and away you go. And there's this boy that's just like, no, that's not how you make porridge. And that phrase is repeated throughout the ad until at the end, you know, he's tasting it and he's enjoying what he's eating, this new way of making porridge. But then he's still, that's still not how you make porridge. You know, he's couldn't get it through his head that there was a new way of doing things. Or, there's a joke I was reading in one of N.T. Wright's little devotionals this week. He says, you know, how many Christians does it take, or how many church members does it take to change a light bulb? He says, the answer is 5. 1 to change the bulb and 4 to stand around talking about how good the old bulb was. We sort of have this way of, we get into this way of doing things, don't we? As Andrew mentioned, we are currently in a series on worship. And last week, we talked about who we are as a congregation. And just to quickly recap, the 5 core values. Firstly, we're Christ-centered. We learned that worship has a shape and its shape is a circle. And we gather together as one big worship team centering on Jesus Christ, centering on Jesus who reveals the Father and pours out the Spirit. It's our first core value. Worship is authentic. It's not a song that's sung, but a heart that sings. And worship has to come from the heart. And if it doesn't, it's actually not worship at all. Thirdly, our default setting is celebration. We celebrate not only what Jesus Christ has done for us through his death and resurrection on the cross, but we celebrate what he's going to do among us and, of course, the culmination of history, which will be the biggest party ever thrown when Jesus comes again, making all things new. We value the old and the new together. We've got such a godly heritage stretching back generations and decades and centuries, and we value that. And at the same time, we embrace the new thing that God's doing, the new practices, the fresh thing that he's doing. And those two work together, sometimes in tension, but hopefully in harmony. It means we learn to rejoice in things that others may like, but we may not, and vice versa. And of course, we value here at Rangeville family and community. We value the range of ages that are represented in this church. We value different age groups ministering together and worshiping together. This is who we are. So that was last week. And if you weren't here, I would encourage you to take 20 minutes out of your life and just listen to the audio from last week. That'll give you some more context as we head into this series. But today, as you might have, you know, from the jokes at the start, it's not about who we are, but where we're heading. And, you know, the thing I love about following Jesus is that Jesus, he's not a stationary God. He's a God of motion and a God of journey and a God of unfolding revelation. And following Jesus means a continual journey with him right to the end. So we never get to stop and plant ourselves and say, that's it, here and no further. Here I stand, I could do no other. But no, we continue to move forward into what God has for us. And that means unfolding revelation. So this morning I just want to explore 3 areas where as a church we'd just love to keep exploring and keep expanding in. In some of these we're already, you know, it's not like there's nothing happening in these 3 areas, but we want to expand them and see them flourish and grow more. So last week there was 5 points, this week only 3. It's getting better, isn't it? It's getting better. So firstly, oh yeah, that was where we're heading. Nice country road. Creativity. Last year, as we do every so often, the ministry team met for a day or a half day of prayer, I can't quite remember, in June or so last year. And we were just seeking God for the church and praying over a bunch of things. And we often spend, you know, a bunch of time just waiting on the Lord and seeking Him for what He'd say to us. And often He says surprising things to us. And on this particular day, we really felt the Lord encourage us and challenge us about creativity as a church. The word creativity came to us. And one of the first thing I'd just like to unpack with you briefly this morning is that as a church, we want to seek to reflect the creativity of God in our services. God's infinitely creative, isn't He? We seek to reflect His creative nature. And creativity is important because it helps to lift us out of the predictable and aids in opening us up to experience God in fresh ways. That's why creativity is important. It reflects who God is. God's infinitely creative. And it helps it to open us up to fresh ways of experiencing God. So we don't seek creativity for creativity's sake. It's not about being innovative just for the sake of it or doing novel things just because that's what we do. But creativity in its right place can shake us out of our comfort zone and help us to encounter God in fresh ways. You know, each one of us in this room, you know, we're created uniquely, aren't we? And each person in this room is a creative person. It's not restricted to artistic types or musical types, but we all have a creative edge to us because we're made by a creative God. So in our services over the next period of time, you know, we're going to try things every now and then. Some things will work, others won't. But we'll roll with it and we'll try to be creative and express the creative God together. One of the things we'd love to do as a worship team this year is explore many more original songs. You know, when God's working in a place, one of the things that pops up is new songs. New songs are a sign that God is active and working in a community. And the Bible encourages us to sing new songs. So this year as a worship team, we're going to try to write more new songs, and we want to record some of them later in the year as well. It's part of our creativity. And there'll be other areas which we would explore, and I don't want to unpack it for too long this morning, but creativity is who we want to be as a people. We want to be a creative people. Secondly, we want our worship to be prophetic worship. Now, this can be a confusing term, you know. Often, what does it mean when I say prophetic worship? When that may conjure up all kinds of images or thoughts in your mind or things that you've seen, good or bad, in church life and world over the years. What does it mean to be a people who worship prophetically? Well, in a bunch of ways, in a few ways. Firstly, you know, our celebration, well, one of the core values of who we are is to be prophetic. Because we are a sign to the world that Jesus is coming back again and He's making all things new. Do you know that our very meeting here and our celebrating together with joy who God is and what He's done is a prophetic sign to the world and should be that Jesus is coming back again. Non-Christians should be like, why are these Christians so joyful? And we say to them, we celebrate because there's a king on the throne of the universe and He's coming back again. That's why we're filled with joy. So in that sense, our worship is prophetic. And secondly, one of the roles of the prophetic is that it brings revelation about who God is. It brings revelation about the nature of God and about what God's wanting to do in a particular situation. And worship is to be prophetic because in our worship services, God wants to reveal Himself to us in the moment, reveal aspects of His character and His nature. Worship is always to be a two-way street, not just a one-way street. It's not just us singing words into the air or praying words into the air as if it's just a one-way thing. Worship is always to be two-way because God responds in worship. In fact, He initiates it as well. And not only does God reveal Himself and His presence in worship, but He wants to act specifically. And the scripture that has really shaped my understanding of this over the years. It's just a very simple little verse in the Psalm, Psalm 22 and verse 3, which simply says that God is enthroned in the praises of his people. Other translations might say he inhabits the praises of his people. But the word has this idea of somebody who sits down to rule. So in the praise of his people, God comes and sits down to rule. God is enthroned in the praises of his people. Last week, you know, we talked about the great circle of worship that happens in Revelation 4 and 5. Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth surrounding the throne and worshiping, this great circle of worship focusing on Jesus Christ. Then what happens next in the book? If you know the book of Revelation, what happens? After there's this great worship of the Lamb on the throne, the book unfolds with an opening of a scroll, doesn't it? A scroll with seven seals on it. And what's happening? What's going on with that? What's that all about? Well, the King, King Jesus, the Lamb seated on the throne, is reigning, and he's unveiling his purposes for the earth. In each seal that's unsealed, something different happens, and the King is exercising his will. And that's what worship is all about. We center on Jesus Christ, the God who's enthroned in our praises, and a King, when he comes to sit on his throne, he wants to do stuff. Kings come to reign. They come to speak, and they come to move, and they come to shape their kingdom and direct their servants in different ways. And that's what happens in Revelation, and that's what should happen in our worship services as well. It's a two-way street. We enthrone Jesus on our praises, but then we wait with expectation for the King to reign in our midst and to do what he wants to do in our midst. He wants to speak. He wants to move. He wants to release his power. He wants to bring revelation to different ones about who he is. He wants to direct our lives. There's a great example of it in Acts chapter 13 in verses 1 to 3, where it says that the church in Antioch, there was a bunch of prophets and teachers, and it names them there. And it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and he said, I want you to set apart for me Paul and Barnabas, or Saul in those days, Saul and Barnabas, for the work that I prepared for them. So these prophets and teachers, they're having a worship service. They're gathering to worship together, worshiping the Lord, centering on Jesus Christ as they're fasting as well, which is another act of worship and seeking the Lord. And in that place of worship, the Holy Spirit said, the Spirit of Jesus, the King on his throne, said, okay, this is what I want to happen in my kingdom right now. And he spoke specifically, Saul and Barnabas, you're set apart for this work. I want you to go out on this. And, you know, the book of Acts unfolds and this missionary journeys that happen. That's prophetic worship. That's prophetic worship. And that should be a common characteristic of our worship together, where God is speaking and moving and directing both us as a congregation and as individuals. You should expect to receive revelation from the Lord in our worship services. You should expect God to direct your life. And I'm sure many of you have had those experiences before. I know I have. I remember being in Japan, of all places, with a small team from Toowoomba City Church back 10 or so years ago. We're connecting with churches in that country. And in a worship service there, we're just worshiping. I just felt God speak to me clearly about a ministry that I needed to do when I got back to TCC and working with young adults. Just cool. Revelation came in that worship service. And I unpacked that with my leaders, and sure enough, it unfolded. God was speaking. The King was reigning in that worship service. It's super important. That's what prophetic worship means, at least in part. You know, many of, well, there'll at least be some in this room, a good group of people in this room that have prophetic giftings. In our worship services, if you ever sense that the Lord is giving you revelation for the church, you're welcome to come and share that with Andrew or with whoever's in charge of the meeting at the time, because it could be something that God, that King Jesus wants to release to the congregation for that morning. It's important. Because we're all part of the worship team, we all have a role to play, and getting a simple picture or a scripture or a word can help to release the reign of King Jesus in our midst that might not otherwise if we just hang back and don't do anything about it. Does that make sense? I would encourage you, church, prepare yourself for worship each Sunday and expect the Lord to download something into your heart, the reign of the King among us as we worship. And it could very well be something for you as an individual, or it could be something wider for our church. And if you feel like it's wider, come and speak to a leader, and then the leader can help to discern whether it is, and then we move forward from there. That's so important. As they're worshiping the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, we want that in our meetings, don't we? We want it. We want it. And thirdly, you know, the worship team, those that lead us in song, their role is a prophetic role, specifically. There's an amazing verse in 2 Kings 3 in verses 15 and 16 where the prophet Elisha, he wants to prophesy. And he needs to bring a prophetic word. And he says, bring me a harpist, bring me a musician. And it says, as the harpist begins to play, the prophet prophesied. Could he have prophesied without the musician? I don't know, but he just felt like he needed the music to help him prophesy, because music is spiritual. Music helps us to celebrate, like we learned last week. It helps us to express our emotion and how we feel about the Lord. But music is also spiritual. It's the way that God's put it together. And worship music has a spiritual element to it. And we want to see our worship team release more and more in the prophetic. We want to see them learn more and more what it is to play their instruments prophetically, to play solos prophetically, to sing spontaneous songs or songs they prepared that they just feel like has a prophetic edge. We want to see them released, don't we? Don't we? And so over the coming period of time, as our musicians experiment and step out in this area, we want to support them. You know, will make mistakes. They'll step out and think that God's doing something and maybe he's not, but other times they'll step out in faith and sing something out that really just releases God. And it's our job as a worshiping group and a worshiping community to support them and encourage them and cheer them on, because we want to see the prophetic release in our midst through our worship team, don't we? We want to see them grow and fly. We want to see worship in this place just go to a whole new level, and we want to see our worship team free to step out and try new things. And sometimes we might think, well, that's not how you make porridge. You know? But to step into the new thing, to step into fresh things, we've got to be willing to allow some experimentation, allow some risk taking, allow our worship team to live on the edge a bit more. And I've seen it, church, you may have as well, where musicians are just anointed by the power of God and begin to play an instrumental melody, and you just know something changes in the room. Wow, something of God is released in the room. It's prophetic. Or you may have seen a vocalist sing out a prophetic song, what they're feeling God's releasing. Wow, just changes the room. I'd love to see every person on our worship team flying in this area as God enables them. Which leads me to the third point. I was looking for freedom images and I couldn't resist putting this one in here as well. So, but we'll go back to this one for now. Yeah, that's right. I need to keep working on my Scottish. Freedom. Freedom. For us to be a creative group of worshippers and for us to be a prophetic group of worshippers, it's not going to work unless there's freedom to do it, isn't it? You know, creativity requires vulnerability. Releasing the prophetic requires courage and vulnerability to step out, because often it's like, God, really? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're doing? Because the prophetic shifts things, doesn't it? It takes people from where they are to a different place in God, and that takes courage to release. And without a sense of freedom in the room and freedom in the community, those things never take off. In fact, we just squash the prophetic and we squash creativity if there's no freedom. You know, At Rangeville, we're all about love, healing, and freedom to the community. But freedom's got to start among us, doesn't it? It's got to start in this room. This week I've been challenged, and I want to challenge you with a passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 15. And it's verses 1 to 20. We're not going to read all 20 verses. We're just going to pull out a few verses and challenge us in some thoughts around freedom this morning. It says in Matthew 15 from verse 1, "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.' And Jesus replied, 'And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?' And then Jesus gives an example of the tradition that they're breaking. And he says, 'You guys, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition.' And Jesus says to the Pharisees, 'You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' And then Jesus turns to the crowd and said, 'Listen, understand. What goes into someone's mouth doesn't defile them.'" You know, the Pharisees all concerned about the way that Jesus' disciples were eating and preparing to eat. But Jesus is like, it's not about that. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth is what defiles them. And he goes on to explain later, it's what comes out of the words that we speak reveal our heart, not the external things. That doesn't matter. It's the internal things. You know, many of us, including myself, and many in this room, we've grown up doing church a certain way. We've grown up worshiping a certain way. And that's fine. And in many ways, it's good. We have certain preferences about how we like things to be done. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. However, it's frightfully easy to take a step from, this is the way I've grown up and the way I like things to be done, to, this is the way we should do it. And this is the way I expect other people to do it as well. And you step over the line from personal preference into exactly what the Pharisees did, building up all this scaffold of tradition around the word of God. And Jesus wasn't, he didn't buy it. He didn't stand for it. In fact, he was so strong against it. "You hypocrites," he said. You know, God is raising up. He's raising up a generation that is going to do church differently. God is shaping a new church for a new world. And this generation that God is raising up, they dress differently, they talk differently, they worship differently. They're not limited by the taboos of the past. They have a desire to be in the world, but not of the world. They're a different generation. God's reshaping the church in many ways. And it's our job as a church and as a church community to recognize when God's moving freshly on a generation and to release them to be authentically who they are and not to resist what God's doing in them by saying, "No, you've got to do it this way. You've got to dress this way. You've got to talk this way. You've got to worship this way." That's not our role. Our role is to release. Just like Jesus said, it's not how a person eats that makes them impure. In the same way, the way people dress or the way they, you know, they might have tattoos, the way they do life doesn't defile them. It's what comes out of the heart, because worship is always from the heart. And the thing that Jesus warned the Pharisees about, he said, "You guys, because you've made tradition more important than heartfelt worship," he says, "your worship is actually vanity. It's futile. It actually doesn't mean anything." And sense the warning of the Holy Spirit this morning that we not become a community that values tradition over the Word of God and doesn't release others to be who they are in God. And my dream, and I think everybody's dream in this room, at least I hope it is, is that Rangeville is going to grow. There's increase for Rangeville. God's going to bring people into this church that are going to get saved from having no church background in the past. People from lifestyles that are just totally destructive, but God's going to save them. And he's going to bring them into this congregation. And they're not going to know the way we do things around here, but they're going to have been forgiven much. They're going to have experienced the mercy and grace of God on their lives. It's just such an amazing and tangible way. And they're going to come into this place and be joined to our community. And Jesus says, those who have been forgiven much, they love much. And these people are going to pour out their worship to Jesus in a way that may be shocking to us, may even be offensive to us, may be socially inappropriate, like we heard last week about the woman with the alabaster box. But Jesus loves that kind of worship, doesn't he? And it's not our job to say, no, you've got to fit into the way we do things around here. Our job is to say, wow, look at that heartfelt expression of worship coming from someone who's experienced the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. And we release them to be who God's called them to be. Right? We want those kind of people in our church, don't we? We want the women with the alabaster boxes in our church. We want them. We want them. And are we willing to open up to one another and to those that God will bring into this place and say, yeah, that's not maybe not the way that I would worship, but wow, that's a heartfelt expression of worship. It's maybe not the way that I would do things, but that's okay because I can see that there's something special going on there. And unless you think that, oh, Evan's advocating for a free-for-all and this place is it'll be chaos, you know. No, not at all. Not at all. God's a God of order, isn't he? And in this church, we are blessed. We are blessed with godly leadership in Andrew and our council of elders. They are wise and godly people. And it's their job to discern what's going on in our meetings, in our church, and to bring order and correction where it's required. That's why God's put them in that position. He's given them that role. It's their job to do that. It's Andrew's job and the Council of Elders' job, but it's not actually our job. Our job is to release one another and to see each other able to be authentic and worship together. Hey. So this morning, I guess as we finish, maybe can we do an internal, you know, just waiting upon the Lord for just a moment. If you need to close your eyes, just close your eyes for a second. Just ask the Lord, Lord, have I fallen into the Pharisees' trap of building up all these traditions around your word and around worship, which actually you don't care about at all? God, have I fallen into that hole? God, have I fallen into the trap of my worship becoming futile because I've got all this other stuff going on around it about how I think it should be? And I miss the heart focus of worship? God, if we've done that, Lord, if I've done that, if we've done that in this room, would you please forgive us? Lord, we choose not to nullify the word of God with man-made traditions. We choose not to put boundaries on the way that others can worship in this place. We choose not to judge, Lord, the expression that others may bring into this place. Lord, instead we choose to release. Lord, we choose to release. God, we choose not to squash what others might bring as a heartfelt expression of worship. God, we release. And we ask that this church, this congregation, Rangeville Community Church, would be a place where all are welcome, from various backgrounds, all who've experienced the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, or who are still experiencing and growing in the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, can come into this place and release their heartfelt adoration and devotion to you, Lord, without fear and with freedom. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we ask most of all that you would be honored in this place every time we gather, that you would be so pleased with the worship that happens in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.